श्री गौरनिथाय की श्री गिरिधारी गोपाल की श्रील प्रभुपाद की थाई। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 10th कैंटो 14th चैप्टर वर्स नंबर 13 Brahma's prayers to Lord Krishna. Text 13. Jagatrayanto dadi samplavode. Jagatrayanto dadi samplavode. Narayano saradabinalat. नारायणस्योदर नाभिनालं विनिर्गतो जस्त्वति वाङ्न वैभृषा विनिर्गतो जस्त्वति वाङ्न वैभृषा किं त्विश्वरत्वन्न विनिर्गतोऽस्मि किं त्विश्वरत्वन्न विनिर्गतोऽस्मि। Translation is as follows. O my lord, it is said that when the three planetary systems are merged into the water at the time of dissolution, your plenary portion Narayan lies down in the water. Gradually a lotus flower grows from his navel and Brahma takes birth upon that lotus flower. Certainly these words are not false. Thus am I not born from you? Purport. Although every living being is a child of God, Lord Brahma here makes a special claim because he takes birth on the lotus flower that emanates from the navel of Narayan, the personality of Godhead. Ultimately, all living beings are equally expansions of the transcendental body of the Lord, but Brahma has an intimate relationship with the Lord because of the activities of the universal creation. So he uses the prefix vi in the word vinirgataha to beg the Lord's special mercy. Lord Brahma is called Aja because he is not born from any mother, but rather emanates directly from the body of the Lord. As Srila Prabhupada states in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead book, it is naturally concluded that the mother of Brahma is Narayan. On these grounds, Lord Brahma is requesting special forgiveness for his offenses. So we welcome all of you on the Sunday morning in the Srimad Bhagavatam class. Hare Krishna. So this chapter is going on with Brahma's prayers, and Srila Vyasadeva has kindly included these prayers in the Srimad Bhagavatam narration in the Amalam Puranam. The brief history about Lord Brahma. He is such a great personality. His greatness has been explained in previous many lectures. Still his glories are unlimited. That he is that personality who is completely entrusted by the Lord to create a complete universe, complete Brahmanda. And anybody who is just materially qualified or intelligent or expert in management or maintenance is not the person who is put in the helm of the affairs. He also has to have the missionary understanding of the mission of the Lord. It's just not the technical expertise. The purpose for which the Lord creates the whole universe, when that has to be understood, and the person who entrusts such a big job has to be convinced that the person whom I am entrusting this particular job has that missionary understanding. So the subtle aspect of the whole Brahmanda creation has to be understood by that person. And any living entity who is qualified to be in this position, as per the Lord's understanding, is put in Brahma's post. So Brahma is not a person, Brahma is a post. And the living entities keep on taking that post as and when they get qualified. Lord puts and empowers. Of course, a lot of empowerment is there, but the empowerment is there when there is understanding of by the Lord of the personality that he has, that understanding, what Lord wants. So Brahma is that qualified personality. He is the first living entity. Before that, all there are Vishnu Tattvas, Narayan, and then Mahavishnu, and then Narayan, and then Sankarshan, and Anuruddha Pradyumna, Vasudev, and Balramji. Everybody is Vishnu Tattva. This is the first Jiva Tattva, the supreme Jiva Tattva in one sense. All the 50 qualities of the 64 qualities of the Lord are fully manifest in Brahma's personality. All of us have minute particles, minute percentage, or maybe insignificant percentage of those 50 qualities in us. We do have. Some are manifest, some are not manifest. But we have those 50 qualities in minute amount. Brahma has in fullest amount. And then there is Shiva, who is 55 qualities in full. And then Vishnu, Ananta, Vishnu personalities have 60 qualities in full. And then Sri Krishna, 64 qualities in full. So Brahma is that personality. In the whole creation, after Lord Shiva, he is the personality who has 50 qualities in full. And when he came out of the navel, on the lotus of the coming out of the Lord's navel, he was bewildered, and he is that personality to whom all the necessary knowledge was conveyed from heart to heart. All that is necessary to know, to understand, all that is supposed to be knowledge in this whole Brahmanda was transferred instantly in the heart of Lord Brahma. You can imagine his position. All that is needed to be known, all that is required to perform his service, all that is required to conduct the affairs of the material universe, completely was conveyed in 4 shlokas in his heart. Lord also is a very wonderful personality. He can do, why 4 shlokas? He could have done in 1 word also, if he wanted. But he chose to be having 4 verses. And that completely enlightened Brahma from complete darkness of ignorance to complete enlightenment of knowledge with full realization. All his bewilderment, confusion went away. Before that he had traversed from the root of the stem to everything and still didn't understand anything. And with the 4 verses in the heart, Tene Brahma Rudaya Adikavaye Muhyanti Yat Suraya. He was completely realized in Sharadi's work. But it is explained in other Puranas that at the beginning of when he got this knowledge, at that time Sri Gopinath Ji, Lord Krishna's wonderful form, appeared to him. And Lord Brahma recited the whole Brahma Samhita. And that is where? That is in Tota Gopinath in Jagannath Puri. That Lord appeared to him. And Lord Brahma, before he began his work, he glorified the Lord in Brahma Samhita. We read, just now we recited, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Such a beautiful, elevated, advanced scripture that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati chose to translate it and purport it. And then, after that, what he did? He performed 60,000 years of tapasya. A very divine tapasya. For what purpose? He is the first living entity, the most respectable would be from all the things that he creates and all the living entity that he will create in the future. He will be the most respected, most senior, most adored personality, most worshipped personality will be he. All questions will end with him. They will ask questions to him, he will answer the questions. He is a big boss of the whole creation. But still, what is he performing tapasya for? It is very interesting to know the inner glimpse of his personality. What is in his heart? He is praying to the Lord that he can get the dust of him, Radharani, his girlfriends and his boyfriends. Somebody who is in a very elevated position, we like to secure his chair, his asana, his entourage, his situation, comfortable and suitable for his position of respect. But he is desiring to achieve the dust of the Lord's lotus feet, his consort's lotus feet, all his friends' lotus feet on his head as mercy. And 60,000 years he performs, but there was no response. Then he went on with his work. And at the end of Satyayuga, again 60,000 years he performed tapasya. So how many total now? 1,20,000 years. It's a long period of time. It may be a little smaller time for Brahmaji's whole lifespan. But nonetheless, long period of time. At the end of 1,20,000 years, Lord Krishna appeared to him and asked him, "What do you want? I am very pleased with you." He said, "I want to achieve the lotus, the dust of your lotus feet, not only of you, your dear Radharani and all your Gopalas and all your Gopis, everybody." He said, "Go to Brajbhumi." So he said, "Brajbhumi is very big, very unlimitedly expansive. Where do I go?" He said, "Go to Vrishabhanupur. Vrishabhanupuram Gatva. Please go to Vrishabhanupur. And there you become mountain. You become a stone." Now what is the meaning of becoming stone? He's becoming completely inert, unconscious in one sense. He is the, I think, among the jivas, the supremely conscious living being. His consciousness is the root cause of all our existence. That consciousness is desiring to become unconscious in the form of a stone so that the Lord can very freely traverse upon him. And his friends can traverse upon him. His cows can traverse upon him. His peacocks and his monkeys. And what is the meaning of becoming stone and mountain? That all the living entities will traverse upon him, pass their urine and stool and dirt and everything on him. And he will remain there, accepting everybody on his head. And remain there only. So he became mountain. That's why the Barsana has got four heads. You know, four peak, mountain heads. Four peaks of mountain. Varsyanu. Very beautiful mountain peaks. And then Lord performs his pastimes on him. And Lord Rama is such a elevated personality that he would go into such an ecstasy that as soon as the Lord would enter upon his body, climb on his body, he will become soft like butter for two reasons. He would become soft like butter so that the Lord's lotus feet, which is softer than petals of lotus, softer than butter, should not get hurt by the hardness of the mountain. So it become like very soft and beautiful to give a very beautiful cooling pleasure to the feet of the Lord and his devotees. And second thing, as soon as the Lord's feet would touch him, now which is in the form of a stone, that is his body, he would become completely ecstatic and he would melt. So it was hard in consistency, but when Lord would traverse, it would become like lotus, like butter. And whenever Lord would go, there would be footprints. Whatever would happen in those pastimes would have those prints. He ate the butter from the pots of gopis. He broke the pot first, then wherever it has fallen down, it has become, the stone has become little whitish, and that mark is there on that. Then he ate the butter from the pot and then mopped his hand on the stone, and wherever he has mopped his hand, there are prints of that. And the gopis pulled him, Radharani and Krishna, you know, the Radharani pulled Krishna and his turban got loosened and turban got pulled across the stone. There is a line of the turban which is being pulled because of the softness of the stone. So many beautiful things. And every day, you know, like it will be a very unsteady platform, at the same time beautiful steady platform for the performance of Lord's beautiful pastimes. And not once, till Krishna, gopis and gopalas, they all stayed in Vrindavan, till all that time, till Krishna was there for 10 years and three months, 4 months, in Brajbhumi, in Barsana, Nandagaon area, constantly, day to day, these wonderful pastimes would take place on the very body of Lord Brahma. This is his position. He is not an ordinary soul. He is not an ordinary personality. At the same time, when Krishna was performing his Bal Leela, and Krishna and Radharani and everybody, small friends, boys and girls, they entered Bhandirvan. And in Bhandirvan, suddenly a stormy condition came, and Krishna was in the hands of Nanda Maharaj, and Nanda Maharaj got a bit scared because of this. And suddenly Radharani came from there, small baby, and Krishna was handed over by Nanda Maharaj to Radharani, and then they both held their hands and they walked in the forest in depth. And suddenly they grew of 16-year-old size. As soon as they grew 16-year-old size, immediately all the demigods appeared there, headed by Brahma again. Brahma led them down. Everybody, Brahaspati and everybody, they all appeared, and Yajna Kunda was made, and in the presence of all the demigods with great opulence and the leadership of Brahma, the marriage of Radha and Krishna was done at the beautiful Bhandirvat. Bhandirvat is a very beautiful banyan tree, which is very, very, very expansive and large tree. You have to go and witness that. What is the meaning of that tree? Maybe 4 or 5 banyan trees, if they are together in horizontal direction, what kind of trunk will be there? That kind of trunk, huge expanse is there. And that is where the Singhasan was made. That is where the divine couple was seated. And that is where they did the pradakshina across the fire. That is where all the brahmanas of the demigods chanted the mantras, Vedic mantras, and got them married, got them tied together with the upper cloth. And so many blessings were given to Brahmins, and they gave donations. And they performed Radhakrishna, you know, also put vermilion, red pigment, sindoor on Radharani's head, parting of the hair. All this beautiful pastime took place, the deity of that also. So Brahma also was the host of the divine marriage that took place in Brajbhumi, incognito. It was not a public affair. They were babies. After performing all these pastimes, then they began again small babies and came back. And Radharani handed over Krishna to Nanda Maharaj, and both of them went home. So there was a debate, and always there's a debate whether Krishna and Radharani got married or not. Brahma was the witness along with the demigods. In his leadership, all this took place. So what I'm trying to tell you is that he is not an ordinary personality. But at the same time, when somebody is an entrusted personality, then the Supreme Lord uses him for teaching everybody a good lesson on various aspects of life. You cannot take anybody and perform a task to instruct all the people in the world. You have to have a trusted actor. Then only you can use him the way you want. He has to be, first of all, surrendered soul. He has to be, at the same time, a very humble soul. Maybe President Barack Obama acts in a drama, and he has given a role of a monkey. Suppose. We will not first accept only this kind of role. He will maybe accept a role of a hero or a stuntman, or maybe He-Man, or, you know, people will adore that character. Such kind of role he will accept. If our Amitabh Bachchan is given a role of a squirrel in a drama, he will not accept it. He will always accept a role which is he thinks is good for his, you know, social status and his fame and everything. But if an actor has to be ridiculed in the drama, or he has to be, you know, into a very embarrassing position, or he has to be in a very insulting position through the drama, he has to be an entrusted soul, take such a role. That is why we have to understand that Brahma may be appearing to be making a mistake here, which is a silly mistake in one sense, kind of testing the master, kind of separating the Lord from his devotees, putting them into illusion, sammohan, hypnotic spell, locking them in a cave and trying to see the fun, and the Lord completely bewildering him, and the Lord completely mesmerized him, flattened his intelligence, he put him into a shock condition. You know, somebody goes in a shock condition, then how much ever intelligence one must have, one may have, it just completely becomes useless actually. It's like you have a huge server with so much of space of knowledge and it crashes, then what happens? All that knowledge which is there in the server is completely useless, inaccessible, and we cannot use it for any purpose. So like that, the biggest server of the whole universe, that is Lord Brahma's intelligence into four skulls, you know, was completely crashed. And he was appearing like a fool actually. But he was ready to be appearing like a fool. He was ready to be appearing like a person who is supposed to be respected but doing a foolish activity. It's a very embarrassing situation. If you say you are an ordinary person, simple person, you make a mistake, nobody cares for an ordinary person's mistake. But everybody cares for a mistake, even if it's a small mistake done by a big man. And the whole city and town and nation wants to talk about it. Why this is happening? Why he is doing? And then there are explanations and there are justifications and there are cross discussions and everything. People are talking because it's a big personality who has done this mistake. And here, Lord Brahma is put in such a position that not only he saw all the coward boys and all the coward calves, everybody was there as they were, right? And then he saw all of them as they were, as he has locked them in the cave. And then, so not sufficing this, Lord converted everybody into Vishnu. And not sufficing this, every Vishnu was surrounded by 33 crores of demigods set, and rishis, and saptarishis, and apsaras dancing and praying and offering worship. We cannot imagine what kind of a scene it was, and how bewildering it must have been for Brahma. He has never seen such kind of things. He never imagined that such thing can ever happen. Fine, well, this boy may be a mystic. He may be bringing those boys from a hypnotic spell immediately when I come here. And he may be putting them back in the cave immediately. He may be a very siddha, you know, maybe a powerfully mystic personality. Till that time, it was okay for him. But this was too much. And to add to this, suddenly all this scene immediately disappeared. And again, a small baby holding a mixture of yogurt and rice in his hand, bewildered, looking here and there. This was too embarrassing. And he understood that, I don't understand him. I have understood now he is the supreme personality of Godhead, my master, whom I tried to test what a heinous activity I have performed. But at the same time, he understands that now I have understood him as my Lord, but I cannot understand his pastimes, how he does all these things. The more I know you, my Lord, the more I understand, I don't understand you. That was his realization. But he accepted to undergo this experience for the pleasure of the Lord. That is Brahma's greatness. Brahma is great because he chose. He didn't mind to be a role, to play a role in Lord's pastimes. Sometimes when a big personality, you can imagine, when a big personality makes a mistake, for example. Suppose a CEO of a company makes a mistake and the trustees come to know that he has made a mistake. So they will have series of confidential meetings in closed door for hours and hours together and maybe reprimand him and punish him, maybe ridicule him or whatever they do. But everything will be closed doors. Nothing will come out to common employee, right? But here what is happening? Lord Brahma made a mistake apparently in the pastime of the Lord. And the Lord heard his prayers and he had to cry, he had to beg to the Lord. And then that's it. He would have said, okay, my Lord, thank you very much, thank you. And I'm very grateful to you. But keep it a secret, my Lord. Let not everybody know in the world what I went through and what was my embarrassment and what foolish activity I did. And then he finds that Vyasadeva is writing about it. Imagine his son, Narad Muni, his disciple is Vyasadeva. That means he's already a param guru of that personality. And Vyasadeva wrote everything as it is. And people like you and me are discussing about it. So he didn't go to Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva, I understand Lord has ordered you to write everything down. I know you are Trikaldarshi and I know your job is to write everything down because people are not going to remember everything. But why you write this? Delete this chapter. Keep it secret. No, I have understood already my mistake and I have realized I have, you know, rectified myself and now there is no need to make it public issue. You know, it's so embarrassing for me. How will I function? How will other demigods respect me? Have you ever read that he has gone to demigods and Vyasadeva trying to convince him, don't put this, and then silly put it, and then he went to go and convincing demigods, please don't misunderstand me. No request from Lord Brahma ever that don't put it into writing for the record. Because that is the sign of humility of Lord Brahma. See, what is our qualification? Are we qualified in any sense, any qualities we have to discuss about Brahmaji's faults? It's like an ant talking about Indra, about what Indra should do and Indra should not do. And what he should have done and what shouldn't have done. That is Brahmaji's greatness, that he has allowed this thing to happen because he truly understands that I am Lord's servant. I am Lord's insignificant puppet in his hand. Similarly, Bhishma Dev also. Such a great personality at that time. In Dwapar Yuga, he was the greatest personality on earth. But he was chosen to put him on the wrong side, a side of Asatya, side of Duryodhan, and he was slain in the battlefield and he had to die, although he was the most glorious personality of that time. But Lord entrusted him that he can take this, he can play this role. So he became Senapati of Duryodhan's party and had to die, had to be slain. But he accepted that. That is the greatness of these personalities, that they are so much surrendered that for the sake of the Lord, they accept all these negative roles to give us a very great lesson in the world. That even if you are Bhishma, if you are on the wrong side, the side of Asatya, you have to be finished. For that, the greatest personality has to be used, no? You cannot have number two personality. You may still say number one is still on that side. He didn't die. But he had to use the topmost personality to teach the lesson. So like that, Indra also is used by the Lord. But the greatness of Indra and Brahma and Bhishma Dev, that they go on continuing their service, irrespective of all this thing happen. They don't say that, okay, and now I'm embarrassed. You know, I just could not imagine myself to be in such a condition of crying tears from my eight eyes and trying to completely beg forgiveness like a small child, you know, really crying like a baby. Enough of it. Now I retire. I will leave the job. I'll find a place where nobody knows my history. Yeah, this happens in companies. You know, when you undergo a disaster in your work, then you quit. You take a VRS and go. You don't want to face your people whom you instructed earlier and who worked under you and whom you guided as a project leader, and now they are no more going to respect you as a project leader and no more going to follow your instruction. If that situation comes, what the big officer does is just quits, goes to another company. But here you can see what Brahmaji's situation in this verse. If you read, he is telling the Lord whatever he has heard from him in the form of knowledge, that yes, when dissolution takes place and the creation again starts taking place, at that time you appear as Narayan, you lie in the causal ocean, and from your navel a lotus flower comes, and from on that Brahma, that is me, who take birth. Now isn't that you are my mother? Please accept me, forgive me. He is becoming, what is a child's position? What does child signify? A child means a helpless personality, right? Totally dependent on mother. Nothing the child knows, no shakti or no intelligence to perform day-to-day activities, no capability of feeding or sustaining oneself. Completely at the mercy of the child. That is the nature of the child. Why we want to become like child? Why the saintly people are like child-like? Because they want to become completely surrendered and dependent. Amara palana bhara ekhona tomara. I'm totally dependent on you. And in that position of a child, you can do anything. But it's not going to be taken seriously, right? When the mother is feeding the child may kick the mother, or maybe pass stool and urine at the same time while the feeding is going on. may vomit suddenly. But the child is forgiven. The child is never blamed and punished for that. So child's position is the most wonderful position. At the same time, it's the most humble position also. So here the creator of the universe, on behalf of the Lord, he is doing his service. But he is begging like a child. So we all must draw a great inspiration from this. So there should be no problem, ideally speaking, in becoming humble like Brahma in our life. Because we are all making mistakes time and again and again, continuously and consistently. That is what we keep doing in our life. You know? In an attempt to become perfect in Krishna consciousness, in an attempt to serve perfectly in our life, what we keep doing is mistakes. And making mistakes is not a great thing. Here Brahma has also made a mistake. Indra has made a mistake. So many people have made mistakes. But what we do after the mistake is realized, that I have done a mistake, that is what determines where we are going to go. If we make mistake, no problem. But then we start justifying our mistake, start making up, you know, start manipulating, and start using our power to keep our position intact and hide the facts and manipulate the facts, then we go to hell actually, truly speaking. But when we immediately accept the mistake, we are in the most safe and most protected condition of life. And what Brahma is teaching, you know, he's actually, in Marathi there is one word called kakultilayane. That means, you know, you become so helpless, you know. You start falling at the feet, rolling in the dust, ground, and begging, and at any cost you want to be forgiven truly and humbly. So he has become in that condition. He is just begging the Lord for various means. I'm like your child, oh my Lord, why don't you forgive me? I'm your baby. Babies do mistakes. Please don't punish the baby. I'm your servant. I'm your baby. I'm born out of you. You're my mother and father both. I'm the unique situation that I have got with you. Please forgive me. And this is the situation of consciousness which attracts the great mercy of the Lord. When somebody is in a humble state of mind, it is the situation, a status where maximum mercy of the Lord can be attracted. If we have all the anarthas in us, all the bad qualities and tendencies, we are studded with them. But if we have one quality of humility, it will help us to eradicate all the other anarthas and receive the maximum mercy of the Lord. Our Gurudev regularly keeps on talking about it. We may have so many faults, but if we choose to be humble, then all the faults will be eradicated. And we can, from the most fallen condition that always we are in, we can be elevated to the most highest position in the eyes of the Lord. So Lord Brahma is himself teaching us how one has to be behaving when one makes mistake. And his repentance is so powerful that he offered all the prayers to the Lord. Lord was quietly listening. There was no reciprocation in between the prayer. He said one thing, the Lord said one thing, then again he said something in response, and then Lord something in response said. There's nothing like that. He just said anything and that's it. My prayers ended. Lord, nothing he said. He went away. In fact, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it is explained that what Lord is thinking in the mind. Lord is sincerely listening to the heartfelt prayers of Lord Brahma, no doubt about that. But his half the heart is attracted to the play that which the boys are doing. Boys are playing. His vatsas, that is Gopalas, small boyfriends, they are playing games. And it's like, last thing Lord can do is to give up that game in between. In fact, he is fearful that ever I give up the game, in the reason of mother's calling for lunch or father's calling for lunch or mother calling for bathing or whatever ceremonies. And if I give up the game, the Lord has a fear that my friends will not take me next day to play. This is Lord's fear. And the Lord is fearing that I am standing here listening to the prayers of this great personality, which I have to listen to, but my mind is in the play. I want to go and play back. I don't know whether he'll accept me. So please finish your prayers fast. I want to go and play. That is Lord's internal mood. And he has mentioned that. There's so many big personalities make mistake, and then they repent, and then they offer prayers and make me stand there to listen all the prayers. This is Lord's mood. So Lord did not respond to him. And he finished his prayers, and then he sat up on his own swan and he went away. But you know, little distance, all this took place in a place called Shergad. You know, Shergad is about few kilometers north direction from Vrindavan. When you go to Barsana on the highway, take right turn, and then there are Brahma's Vimohan Leela places are there. Sei is there where he repented, and another place is there where he offered prayers, another place where he stole them, another place where he kept the coward boys in a hypnotized condition. There are four places. Finally, a place where he actually came to realization. And then he left from there. Okay? And then he again went south direction in Vrindavan, in between Vrindavan. And he got down, he cried there. It's a beautiful place called Brahmakund. How many of you visited Brahmakund? It is very recently has been renovated. For over the years, it was dilapidated. Such a deep kund, where Lord Brahma, even after offering his repentful prayers, couldn't control himself, his emotions. And he sat there, he cried. And it was a huge kunda filled with his tears of repentance. Now, what kind of repentance? If one is committing a mistake in life, unless he's truly repentful, one cannot get the forgiveness. That is what the acharyas tell us, that it is not just by lip service that we get forgiveness. I say sorry, you say sorry. You know, how children are told? When they make some mistake, mother says, go and say sorry to him. So he will go to the person and say, sorry. So mother says, this is the way to say sorry. Say properly, I said sorry, mummy, I said sorry. So again he goes and says, sorry. That means we know that there is no repentance in the heart. Just for the sake of following the rules, the child is saying sorry. And everybody in the world understands that. But this is the example of repentance. They were after crying and bathing the Lord's lotus feet with the tears falling from eight eyes, then offering wonderful prayers of repentance, you know, begging like a child, like a small baby, and then finishing all the prayers, expressing his heart. Still he is crying and filling a full pond. There is a very beautiful place where he cried. Let me tell you about a few things about the place also. That is where, that place is between Ranganath temple and Radha Govind temple, in between. When you go towards Gopeshwar Mahadev, on that side it is. That is where Rupa Goswami found Vrinda Devi's GT, in the north side of the Kunda. That is where Bilwa Mangal Thakur, he chose that place. He said 700 years he stayed there, performing his bhajan in Vrindavan. And there is a small kuti also of Bilwa Mangal Thakur, just close to that place. You can imagine a personality like Bilwa Mangal Thakur chose this place for his bhajan to understand the essence of repentance. What is the meaning of repentance? What kind of repentance is this? And then Lord Shiva also prayed to Yogamaya to get a body of a gopi in this place. And then he was instructed to go to Mansarovar, and he took bath there and became a gopi. It's a very wonderful place. And today, by the mercy of so many Brajvasis, the place has been renovated. And you can see that Lord Brahma is sitting and praying and crying there. His repentance still did not end. From there he flew in the sky on his Rajahamsa. And he was going to Brahmaloka, on the way to Brahmaloka. Still he was not satisfied. He said, no, I have done such a heinous activity. I am Brahma. I am supposed to be understanding the mission of the Lord. I am supposed to have understood. I am supposed to be in a position which Lord has entrusted me to assist in his pastimes. His Holiness Radhana Swami tells, what is management of a spiritual organization? Management of the spiritual organization means the only purpose is to assist everybody to become God conscious. That is management. Management is not a top in the spiritual organization. The management is meant to encourage everybody to become more and more Krishna conscious. So my job as a manager, Brahma says that it was supposed to be assisting my Lord to perform his pastimes nicely. If at all I can do something more than management, is to become part of his leela and serve him and do whatever I can as a boss, because I have been entrusted with so many authorities, so many resources are with me. But I have not done that. Instead of assisting my Lord in his pastimes, I have broken their pastime. I have separated his dearmost friends and devotees from him and I have interrupted in his pastimes. A wonderful pastime was going on, which was pleasing the soul, hearts of everybody in the creation, which was watched by all the demigods, and everybody was so happy seeing these beautiful pastimes. I came and interrupted out of my arrogance. So what kind of service is this? What kind of consciousness is mine? What is the use of my position? I don't want to become Brahma. There's a song one Brijvasi saint has composed about Brahma's mood, you know, a very beautiful song in which he's begging to the Lord, "Oh my Lord, I don't want to become Brahma anymore. I'm not interested in this power. I'm not interested in this empowerment that and the skills and the knowledge that you have given me, the position that you have given me, the respect that you have offered me as a topmost living entity, and the greatness that you have given me by giving birth from your navel. I don't want to have any of these things, because if I am not in proper consciousness to serve you, to assist you and to please you, all these so-called great opulences are useless. They're not useful at all. It becomes meaningless to become Brahma. I don't want to become Brahma." How many people can think like this? Brahma is a very topmost position. There are many, many big shot officers and CEOs and chief executives, you know, after performing heinous activities, they still want to continue their position. So many politicians, you know, they do so many heinous activities, illicit sex, intoxication, robbery of money, and you know, frauds. They do so many things. For each mistake that they do, each sin that they perform, they can live in hell for thousands of years. But in spite of doing many of them, they still want to cling on to their position. Come back in the position, resign and come back in the position again and again, fool the people, maintain the position again and again, usurp, exploit. This is people's mentality, which are the heads of the states and the nation actually, which is insignificant in the whole creation of the Lord. Even in Brahmanda also, it's an insignificant situation to hold a position in the state government. But still, there's so much hankering. And here Brahma is the topmost position you can imagine in the material world. Topmost respectful position. And he's saying that, "I don't want to be in that position." So he was meditating on these thoughts while going and flying towards his destiny, Brahmaloka. And was saying, "I don't want to become Brahma anymore. Because this position of Brahma, of respect and authority and empowerment, has spoiled my consciousness. Has made me to test my Lord. The worst thing ever I can do is test my Lord. Or test a spiritual authority. And this position has made me think like this and do like this. And I have separated the devotees of the Lord from the Lord. Such an offense. Only because I was Brahma. I was thinking I am a great personality. So I don't want to become Brahma." So he got down again. Look at his state of heart. You have to analyze the thing, state of heart. What kind of repentance he had. He got down and again he sat on earth performing his tapasya of thousands of years. Maybe thousands of years. Maybe I'm wrong in that. But long time. That much definitely I can say. The fact that he came down was a great thing again. And he prayed and prayed and prayed in repentance. And then Lord Gauranga appeared to him. Before, Lord didn't speak to him as Krishna. When Lord Gauranga appeared to him, and only Lord Gauranga spoke. He was so pleased with his true repentance that he said, "Now I will fulfill your desire, of your heart's desire. You will become born in a untouchable family. That means there is no parentage, great parentage. You will become Yavana, most unwanted. That means you will become a devotee of mine. Because of that, Yavanas will reject you. And because you will become devotee of mine, in the so-called Hindu tradition, the Hindus will reject you because you are from Yavana family. And still you will become Namacharya. You will undergo great tribulations, but still you will be able to serve me as Namacharya. Then Lord Brahma actually got assured, okay, now I have been forgiven. And then he went back, awaiting the time of Lord Gauranga's appearance. When Lord actually depositioned him, right? He said, okay, now no more Brahma, you become Haridas. And he was even a family. So he gave up Brahma's position. And nobody said that that Brahma has gone back to Godhead. He's no more Brahma. There's different Brahma there now. Another qualified soul has taken up the service. But this Brahma has not only said, okay, I want to give up the position, I don't want to become Brahma. He has enacted upon it. He lived from his, as per his consciousness of repentance. So that is Brahma's greatness. Here, Kunti Devi in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, explains that the person who has high birth, high parentage, you know, very Brahmin family or very aristocratic family, very respectful family, powerful family, from the power of position and influence and wealth, and somebody who is very, very knowledgeable, you know, having so much of degrees and knowledge, from a very knowledgeable family itself, somebody who has lots of opulences of strength, of knowledge, of renunciation, and somebody who is very, very beautiful, Shri means very attractive features of body and mind and so many things. Somebody who is a great artist. Subtle and gross, wealth and beauty. If somebody is in any one of these positions, Kunti Devi says that that personality cannot utter the Lord's name with feeling. It's a very detrimental situation to become a devotee of the Lord. And Brahma was from all this point. You can see what is his birth. His direct father is Krishna. Mother and father both. He was not born like anybody else. He was divinely born. That is, so the highest parentage and highest birth one can imagine is of Brahma actually. Think about knowledge. He was the one who received knowledge directly from the Lord, heart to heart, the first personality. From him, all the knowledge was dissipated to everybody else afterwards. He was the first recipient of knowledge. About opulences, you can imagine whatever opulences that is seen in the world, not only he has created those opulences for others to be opulent and to be proud of. He's the source of all that. All that is opulent, attractive, you know, wanted and respected, is he has created them for others. He's the source of all that on behalf of the Lord. And beauty? We just draw the figure, people don't understand, they draw the figure of Brahma as long white beard and white eyebrows and the old man, the most senior person, like that. It's not like that. Brahma is ever fresh, youthful personality. Even after you meet him after 3 trillion, 11 billion years, you will find a very attractive personality. He's always young. In one of our Bhagavatams like this, you will find Brahma's picture as a small boyish face, you know, foreheads. No disease touches him. He never becomes old. He just takes birth and one day he disappears. But there is nothing like in between which is sickening him or which is, you know, he's become sick. Today he's on sick leave. He has fever, dengue fever, is what to do. He's in the material world. He has created two mosquitoes, but they also bite him. It is not like that. Nothing happens to him like this. He's free from all. And his loka is the topmost of all the lokas, where all the siddhis, all the knowledge, all the enjoyments are most subtlest possible levels are available there. Even siddha loka and tapa loka are below that. His loka is the sum and substance of all the lokas. What is best is available in his loka. And also there is direct passage to Golok Vrindavan from his loka. Somebody reaches Brahma loka, and by the Brahma's mercy of Brahma, he's a first personality, one can go back to Godhead from there. Otherwise, you have to come back on earth from wherever you are and then go back to Godhead. You can imagine his position. So all possibilities are there that there can be bewilderment. Right? So what we have to learn from this is that Brahma's position is a very precarious position. What we have to understand is whenever we develop any of such opulences in power or authority, we should very well know from Kunti's statements that these powers and authorities and opulences definitely is a detrimental situation for our bhakti. And we have to only see that as an instrument in Lord's service and use it that way. And never identify with those facilities and those powers and those authorities that we have as ours. Because there are all the authorities in this world, it is said in spiritual language, that all the authorities, all the powers in the material world are all borrowed things. Nothing actually belongs to us. Why is that? Because any time they can be taken away from us. That is why they are borrowed. They are only given to us for a particular purpose, for a particular period of time, and they will be 100% snatched away from us whenever the Lord wants. So if you want to be really safe, be safe in any of such positions which come to us according to our karma or by the accordance of Lord's desire, then we should use them in Yukta Vairagya, knowing well that this has been given to me by the Lord for His service. You know, even insignificant thing as I may be a chief ward boy in one of the small wing in the ground floor, and still that can get me puffed up. If I'm CEO of a big hospital, it can get me puffed up. If I'm a chief minister of a state, it can get me puffed up. But Yudhishthira Maharaj also was the king of the whole universe, Chakravarti Samrat. But how he ruled the kingdom? He ruled the kingdom in complete surrender and detachment. But they were appearing to be enjoying everything when they become kings. But what is the proof of their detachment? As soon as Krishna left, all that so-called source of enjoyment, they just left like a piece of garbage and went away to the forest, the north side, to attain the mercy of the Lord. That was their proof. The proof is not when they are enjoying. We say, what is their detachment? They are enjoying. Ambarish Maharaj enjoying, Dhruv Maharaj, 36,000 years of enjoyment. But in the heart of their hearts, they never wanted to be the enjoyer. They were just there as a, you know, they were watching all the enjoyments as, by the way, it is all there. Their heart was not in those things. Their heart was in service to the Lord. And the moment Lord left, they had to leave from there. That's an inspiring example. So all these situations that of powers and authority that we have, we should know that they are meant only to serve the Lord. And how to do this? It's very easy to say all these things. Yes, you have a lot of opulence, a lot of wealth, a lot of power, a lot of property, a lot of authority, position to instruct people, to guide people. Even with one of my signatures, I can change people's fortune. Or one of my signature, I can destroy people's fortune. You know, people who are in finance, they can do, okay, 500 rupees rise this year. So everybody gets 500 rupees. And you decide, no rise this year. Deduct 500 rupees. It becomes a small amount. And you think that I am having, my pen has got so much power that with one signature I can change fortune of masses of people. But we have to understand that this is not our power, it's Krishna's power. And how to do that? The only way to be able to do this, to understand that it is not my power, it's simply borrowed power and I am a servant of the servant of Lord Sri Krishna, is to chant the holy name of the Lord attentively. Because the holy name is like that antidote which will prevent us from getting puffed up and proud of all those borrowed opulences. And it is said that those who are ascending into highly affluent material positions and those who are devotees also at the same time, they should constantly pray to the Lord that these situations should not overwhelm me. These situations should not corrupt my mind. Because it is said that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And what does the corruption do to us? The corruption takes us away from Krishna. Corruption of power and position, you know, takes us away from Krishna and makes us suffer in the material world again and again in the repeated cycles of birth and death. So we have lost the opportunity. We have gone close to Krishna, but in the course of time, the power and the authority came to us and has corrupted us and has deviated us from the path we have got it. So basically, we have to question why we were here in the first place. Why we joined Hare Krishna? To become temple president, or to become a guru, or to become authority in the temple, authority for department or a decision maker? No. These are simply the ways of service. This is our service. we have come to Hare Krishna to become a pure devotee of the Lord, to become the servant of this servant of the servant of the Lord. In the most humble consciousness, we want to serve everybody. Even if you become a guru and you have thousands of disciples, when the guru thinks that I am the servant of all my disciples. His Holiness Radhana Swami, when he writes mails, he writes to his disciples, so and so Prabhu, please accept my most respectful humble obeisances. And in the end, write your servant, Radhana Swami. It's a very difficult thing, actually, in one sense. But what is the consciousness? The consciousness is constant identification of me being servant of my so-called devotees or disciples. But essentially, I may be technically guru and technically he may be a disciple and technically he may supposed to serve me and I'm supposed to instruct him and give my blessings to him. From the platform of absolute truth, I am his servant and he is my master. If this consciousness is one is having, then one is constantly safe from any onslaught of Maya. Maya cannot touch. And this consciousness can be achieved by constantly associating with people who have this consciousness. At the same time, constantly being in a prayerful mood to the Lord. Please, my Lord, do not let me go under the influence of these so-called powers and positions of the material world. I am simply your servant. Keep me as your servant. If at all you want to give me something, let me use everything of those things to serve you. Let me engage every prowess of mine, every capacity of mine, every skill of mine, selflessly in your service. And let all glories to be you, my Lord, not 1% glories to me and remaining all to you. Let all glories to be yours, my Lord. Ultimately, this consciousness attracts the Lord. And to such a soul, the Lord gives more and more and more opulences and more powers and more authority and more service in the sense. It is like the tree which gives its fruits to everybody else. The Lord gives the tree more and more fruits. If the tree holds on to the fruit, then there is no more fruit coming in that place. So all the fruits are meant for others. That's what the tree thinks. That's why the tree is empowered and supplied by the Lord with unlimited fruits for the world to enjoy. So pure devotee of the Lord is like that tree. All things, whatever the pure devotee achieves in Krishna consciousness, he just delivers to everybody else, offers to everybody else in service to uplift them. In fact, sacrifices everything of his own for helping others and never identifies all those things as his own. He gives credit to his guru that whatever I think and appears to be coming to me as mine is all belongs to you. Prabhupada said, everything belonged to my Gurudev, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Because of his mercy, things happened. And all the disciples of Prabhupada say that everything is happening because of him. We are simply instruments in the hands. And for that, a strong sadhana is required. We read Srimad Bhagavatam just not to go through superficially. Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to be contemplated upon, meant to be meditated upon. We have to think about it. What is the mood? What is the mood in between the lines that Brahmaji has? Why these prayers are included in Srimad Bhagavatam? Although materially it appears to be a very failure story. What kind of position is this? What kind of person is this? Such a big person doing such silly mistakes. Externally it appears like that. But still this chapter of prayers of Brahmaji is included in Bhagavatam. Why? Because it has got such great lessons to be learnt. How one should conduct oneself in the highest position when one makes mistake is exemplified over here. You have to meditate on that. And sure enough, by the mercy of the Lord, we will be also in this such situation sometime in life. And we'll have a reference, we'll have an ideal reference here how to conduct ourselves. Instead of getting deviated and manipulative and justifying situations, let us be humble. Straight come down to knees and offer prayers. There is one statement, if by the will of the Lord or by the power of Maya in the material world, if you are brought down to knees, it's the best position to pray, actually. So do not get bewildered. If sometimes we get smashed or we appear to be performing foolish activities, There's nothing to worry about. If you are smashed to the ground, it's the best position to pray to the Lord. So Brahma is doing the same thing. By the arrangement of the divine leela of the Lord, and by the way he did a mistake, through all the situations, he has brought in a very embarrassing condition. But what is he doing? He's offering prayers to the Lord. Heartfelt prayers to attract the mercy of the Lord. And that is how the Lord has offered mercy to him. Greatest mercy to him actually. So this is Lord Brahma. And we are very proud to have such a head of the sampradaya. Our sampradaya is Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. And he has accepted Madhva as the preacher of the sampradaya. But head of this Brahma, out of all 12 sampradayas, this is the best sampradaya, because the topmost personality of the universe is head of the sampradaya. And we have such an example that he has set for us. He doesn't mind to be getting embarrassed, but still wants to be an example to all of us. So we have to be pretty proud, we have to be very grateful and repentful truly. If at all we make mistakes in life, and follow on the footsteps of Lord Rama, and surely because he is our supreme guru of sampradaya, if we follow him, we'll definitely go back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Are there any comments? Any Srinathji Prabhu, do you have any comments? Anybody has any questions to? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Puji, this verse clearly tells about how Lord Brahma came into this existence in this material world. Yes. Is there any verse which tells about how Lord Shiva appears in the Purana or any other Puranas?
Yeah, it is in Bhagavatam only it is given that when the Kumaras rejected the proposal of Brahma to become instruments in his creative activities, Lord Brahma created Narad Muni, then he created Kumaras, and then he created many personalities, and he wanted them to be in his creative mode, in sense to get married and to create. But Narad Muni preached Kumaras, and Kumaras also decided to be Brahmacharis. So that time Brahma became angry, and from in between his navel, Brukuti Madhya, Lord Shiva was born. Rudra was thrown out of his forehead, and that's how Shiva came into existence. Okay? Hare Krishna. Any other question? Yes? It's like this. The question is, when Brahma is born, what is the meaning? Is somebody taking the position? When a particular universe is under the process of creation, right? So Mahavishnu is taking out those universes in seed form from the pores of his body, right? And the seed form universes then they develop and they manifest as a properly developed Brahmanda. And in that particular Brahmanda, you can say there are unlimited Brahmandas which are coming out of the pores of the body of Mahavishnu. Take one Brahmanda into consideration now. In that one Brahmanda, this Mahavishnu expands into Garbhodakashaya Vishnu. That means there are unlimited Garbhodakashaya Vishnus which are there in each Brahmanda like that. And there is a Garbhodaka ocean also there. There is one Mahavishnu only, but there are unlimited Garbhodakashaya Vishnus. And from that navel, a lotus flower comes and Brahma is born. So, a particular qualified soul who is now going to be posted as Brahma for that universe takes the body of Brahma from the navel of Lord Vishnu and takes birth there. It is said that even you and me can become Brahma. If we become qualified and Lord decides that, okay, we are qualified, then we can also take the post of Brahma. Anybody can become Brahma, Indra or anything. They are personalities. They are actually posts who take up that job description. So there are always people qualified like that. The Lord will choose one of them and make him appear through his navel. Give him the body of Brahma with four heads or whatever number of heads. Because there are universes of many, many, many directions. Millions of directions are there in some universes. So as many number of directions, those many number of heads are there on Brahma's shoulder. So that particular Brahma will have those many heads on his shoulder, and he will appear on the lotus. The Lord will enlighten him, and Lord will get the whole universe of that particular universe created by him. It's like that. Any other question is there? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. My question is like, all the demigods actually die to come to the planet Earth so that they can practice devotion and go back to Godhead. But you also made one statement saying that there is a direct pass if someone goes to Brahma Loka. So
long route. It's not a small route.
Okay, okay.
It's a long route. Because to get to Brahma Loka, one has to perform absolute tapasya and absolute brahmacharya while living on the earth. If somebody performs absolute brahmacharya and lives like that, then one can enter Brahma Loka. But as I told you, there is so much of subtle opulence over there that if we get bewildered over there, then again we have to come down. Shine Punya Martha Loke Vishanti. But all you remain in the same consciousness, we may go back to Godhead by the mercy of Brahma. But it is better to remain in situation on earth, in Kali Yuga, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's golden yuga of time period, chant Hare Krishna, because the easiest sure short way back to Godhead. So technically yes, from Brahmaloka one can go back to Godhead. But as the demigods are trying to come down, that means they are intelligent people, no? Otherwise they could have also tried to go to Brahmaloka and did some vashila over there and from there go back to Godhead. No, but they know that it's not so easy. That's why they prefer to come down in Kali Yuga, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's golden time period, and chant Hare Krishna, develop love of Godhead and go back. So I want to speak few minutes about book distribution also. We'll have 2-3 minutes more. You can see that Srila Prabhupada, you know, spent days and days and months and years together for writing these. Of course, this chapter is translated by his disciples after his departure. But the chapter before, till that time, Prabhupada translated. And you can see there are films of Prabhupada, of his last days, where Prabhupada is just like bone and skin, hardly 30-35 kilos, maybe the weight may be. He was unable to move his hand and fingers also. He was completely dependent on his disciples for doing his bodily necessities. And anybody of us will be unconscious in that condition because he had not eaten for so many months also. But still he was seen, video recorded, he was translating the Srimad Bhagavatam of Brahma Vimohan Leela was going on. So it's not that everything he wrote, he translated till the last breath actually. Very faintly heard, and devotees were trying to grasp that and trying to translate that. And before that, when he was a little bit all right physically, he would get up in the middle of the night, something like 11 o'clock in the night, and till 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the night, he would write. When all the disciples would be sleeping fast asleep, he would translate these scriptures for all of us. Otherwise, as I told you, if these purports were not there, written by Spirit Prabhupada, we would take Brahma very cheaply. We would say, what Brahma, what kind of personality is this? Why should I worship him? There are so many more stories of Brahma, which are more bewildering than this, which are there in scriptures. Sometimes appears to be heinous, whatever he has done. But if pure devotee like Prabhupada would not have taken pains to translate and to purport and to explain these things, we would be simply committing mental offenses towards the great personalities and go to hell after that. If at all we come across Srimad Bhagavatam and no explanation is there, we simply get bewildered. Even today, the scriptures that Prabhupada did not translate into English and purport, we don't understand them. Why this happens? But he has translated enough scriptures and given enough explanation of those scriptures so that we can go back to Godhead in this very lifetime. So Srila Prabhupada has sacrificed his life, his breath, is every atom of his energy so that he could write these books. Because a personality may live, take birth, live and go. But the teachings and the writings of the personality remains for all time to come in the future. Srila Prabhupada left in 77. Today we are in 2012. And how much preaching these books have done? people get bewildered that his personality has left so many years back, but his movement has grown 6 times after his departure than what happened during his times. And looks like if this goes on, it may go multiples of hundreds of times, the movement will grow as time will pass from his departure away. These are the power of his books. When he passed away, his disciples were completely bewildered. They felt life had come to an end. The world has become a zero. What is there to live in the world now? What is the value of our life? Let us all die. But they, when they read the books, they immediately were ecstatic. They felt Prabhupada is there. But they remembered Prabhupada said that you will find me in my books. So not only the explanations are there for us to understand the scriptures in the right way, but also we have Srila Prabhupada available in his books. Nobody can say, I don't meet Prabhupada, I don't see where Prabhupada is and he's not available for us. He's available for us in his ecstasy-filled purports that he has given. And why he did all these things? Because he knew that if he expresses his heart in his books, that his heart will be available in the form of books for all time to come, even after his departure. And the proof is already there. Whoever comes across his book, only if somebody holds his book, somebody goes through these few pages of his books, the life gets transformed. So why not? We are not supposed to write these books. They're already written, already they're available. We're supposed to simply become an instrument to distribute these books to others. To give these books on convince them to give on marriage gift or an engagement gift or some festival gift or birthday gift, on something. Just convince them to do that. Even if people buy the books and keep on their bookshelf, it has been proved n number of times that Srila Prabhupada's books serve as time bomb. They remain there, they never remain there silently. They remain there and the plot is being worked out for the person to have a blast in his heart, to destroy his material life and to put him into spiritual life. This is not time to explain all the stories, but sufficient stories are available. How the books lay in somebody's bookstall, bookshelf in the house in USA, in America, England, all the countries. And over the period of time, how they came back to Krishna consciousness. Came to Krishna consciousness, not back to Krishna consciousness. So our job is simply to allow Prabhupada's wonderful ecstasy-filled purports to reach people. And already BBT is printing them. They are changing book cover every time, face every time. They are putting into different thing. They are all those marketing gimmicks they are already doing. We are simply supposed to pick up the books, use our intelligence and help people to take them and then help people to read them and thus change them, change their lives and give more and more books available. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita in the battlefield. For what purpose? For all of us he spoke actually. In the name of Arjuna. And that Bhagavad Gita is changing lives of trillions of people from the time immemorial. Our job is to simply read ourselves and give it to others and inspire them to read. And there are umpteen number of ways Krishna will empower you with in intelligence by which you can distribute these books to others. And it's very easiest way to please Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, you want to please me? Please distribute my books. And pleasing Prabhupada means going back to Godhead. Please understand. When the Guru is pleased, maybe it's an insignificant activity or a great activity. If the Guru is pleased with you, you are surely entering the kingdom of God. So distributing Prabhupada's books, maybe secondary purpose could be to deliver others from nations, but primary purpose can be for us to please Prabhupada and go back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. So let us all try our best in our given situations to use the remaining 20 days to 21 days to help people to receive Prabhupada's books, to enrich their lives with the mercy of Prabhupada and Krishna, to let people know about Krishna through Prabhupada's books. And they are written for next 10,000 years. But actually speaking, they are written for eternity. Even after 10,000 years, they will be as effective as before. Times may change, but books will not lose their potency. Because the knowledge given in these books is transcendental, not to be affected by the power of time. Srila Prabhupada ki, December book marathon ki, Jai Jai Sri Radhe Shyam.